You might like to turn in your Bible to 1st Epistle of John and chapter 4. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bend head and heart in your presence, so set apart even to all of the minutes that lie ahead. They're your minutes in the first place. God, time is a gift to us to exercise in time that which goes into eternity. God, so here and now, for there and then, and our God, we thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. And in our little exercise of the book of 1 John, you'll remember as we came, talking of God's love, chapter 4, if I can, in verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, no, on the opposite, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins, a satisfaction. Beloved, verse 11, if, first class, since, it's true, beloved, if it's true, if God so loved us, and he does, we ought also to love one another. Verse 12, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. So, two things I asked myself that I would want to think about and understand. One, God has chosen believers to be the vehicle to let the world know that he's God. God has chosen believers like us to let the world know that he's God. Look at that. Secondly, I ask myself, that's true. Now, but no man has seen God at any time. You can't see God. Our Lord said it. God is infinite, big. And we shared all these things. The stars, the universe, the galaxies, about a little stretch like this. He stretches out the heavens in the middle of them. Like that. God is you. God, you're something else. No man has seen God at any time. Now, I'm trying to put them together. But God, we're in the presence of God. We're in the presence of God. Why aren't we worshiping God? Do you know when you, if you were to leave this earth, you would find what? You would find in God's heavenly wonderment place, all of them wonderfully, awesomely aware that God is God. Why don't we? Why don't we? We're showing God, but we don't even understand God. I'm trying to put that together in my little mind. How can that be? God, you're awesome. You created the heavens and the earth. And in 6 days, you went. And 1 minute you did this, and the next minute you did that. You took the waters and divided them and gave land out of the oceans. You did all of these things. You made all the stars. You made all the animals, fish, birds, bugs, bees. You made all the plants, all the thousands and thousands of different things, thousands and thousands of variety. You did all of that just like that. Wow. God, yeah. I'm impressed. Oh, something else. But we don't know it, God. What else do I want to add to that? Go with me, please, to the book of Hebrews. And in Hebrews, all kinds of ways, I'm just trying to get it a little bit ahead of us here to see. And in the process, Hebrews in chapter 10, you remember, as we did the book of Hebrews, picking up, if I may, going, if I can, to verse 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now, the admonition is to get us to be loving, loving, loving. But that's what? That's how the world's supposed to know that you're God. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more, as you see the day approaching. For, verse 26, if we sin willfully after that we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifices for sins. Verse 27, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and the fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Sliding down, verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, but you would never know it. You would never know it. It's true, but you would never know it. Ah, and slide over to chapter 12. And in chapter 12, verse 28, wherefore, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Why? For our God is a consuming fire. Where is that? A consuming fire. Awesome, fearful thing. You would never know that. You would never know that. You would never know that. No, not on earth. So go on. Now, what's missing? What's missing, if you would? Over, if you would, please. Oh, to see it, I guess. Genesis, we save time, Genesis, etc. Abraham, you just sang the song, wonderful song. God had provided a lamb. And where would we be if God hadn't done that? Where would we be? God, if you didn't provide a lamb. Wow. I say wow from the depths of my soul. Wow. Now, so therefore, over if you would please, over to Psalm 95. And in Psalm 95, now, what did you know that's typical without going into all that? You know it a little bit. If you read Genesis 18, 19, 22, etc., etc., what was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob conscious of? They were conscious of God's presence when he came to them, and they were conscious of him. What did they do when he approached them in his pre-incarnate, when he was the Lord, before he took on the house in Bethlehem of Judea, when he was born of a baby? He had a human form, and he came to Abraham, et cetera, et cetera. What did they do? They worshiped. They worshiped. Worshiped. Worship, to bow down, to bend the knee, to bend the knee, to bend very much, to bend down to worship. That's what they did. They were conscious of being in the presence of God. And they worshiped him. They worshiped him.
Wow.
That's what they did. And then we look out. Here's all the churches on Sunday. And where's the worship? Oh, we got bells and all kinds of stuff. Where's the worship? Of what? Being conscious of his awesome presence. To bend the knee. To bow down. To fall prostrate on your... Abraham fell on his face before him. Wow. Worship. Hang on. Is that legit? Absolutely. Go with me, please, over to see it. I didn't mean to, 95. And if I may pick it up in 95, verse 1. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Down to verse 6. O come, let us worship, to bow down, to bend the knee. Cause it's reflexive. You bend the knee. God doesn't bend your knee. You bend your knee. You yourself, you bend your knee. You fall down. Not I make you fall down. I can do that, he said. And you, some are going to make them fall down. But to fall down. Verse 6. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. So all of them, swinging all of them together. Now, having said that again, Psalm 29. And in Psalm 29, picking up, if I may. And you catch it, verse 1. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship, there's your word, bow down. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Wow, that's what I want you to do, to worship him. Where is that? Where is it? Worship the Lord. Now that, hang on to that. That's what you want to have in your mind. That's what I want to put together. It has to come together. Or something's wrong. So we got to get this one to get to two. So, over if you would please. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. And if I may. And you know the Ten Commandments that were given on Mount Sinai. And in the process, the first four, but picking up all of them have to do with God. But in particular, Exodus 20 and sliding down, verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. In other words, everything that I've created, don't ever call it God. Don't ever identify it with God. God is God, not his creation. His creation is to enjoy God. Verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Why? For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting iniquity unto the fathers, iniquity of the fathers unto the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Each generation doesn't learn from the previous one. Over to chapter 34. And picking up again, just to catch the flavor of it so you see it. Verse 13. Well, I'll get to verse 12. 34:12. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare and in the midst of thee. But you shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For reason, thou shalt worship no other God. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. God's wonderful, wonderful working in his wonderful way. Now, having said that, worship. That's what they were brought into, a relationship to God that could enjoy God. How so? By worship. By understanding God made them in his image and likeness. And when we go, made in his image and likeness, and when we get into idolatry, what do? We curse ourselves. How is that? God made us to know him. And when we get into idolatry, which is our doing, we'll see it in a minute, which is our doing, God said, you've cursed yourself. You, the piece of wood, are just stay wood. God didn't make us a piece, God didn't make us a piece of wood. God made us body, made in his image and likeness to enjoy him. And if I leave God out, I've got dust. My own idols, my own image, my own idolatry. I've got dust. You soup, you just threw away your unique relationship. You threw it away because you didn't trust me. When you were made in his image and likeness, and you were dumb enough to try to maintain it with yourself. Watch it. See it happen. Over again. Over again. Deuteronomy. And chapter 4. And you will note, chapter 4, picking up if I may. And again, a little bit of the background. Verse 16. Lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, a similitude of any figure, animal, vegetable, mineral, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast of the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that floweth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth in the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the sea. Lest thou lift up thine eyes from animal life to the heavens itself, even unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun, the moon, and the stars, even all the host of heaven should be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all the nations under the whole heaven, under how heaven. What have you done? You've gone and worshiped all creation in some form or fashion. That's what you've done. Chapter 8, Deuteronomy, and chapter 8. We've changed the worship, the awareness, the wonderfulness of God. Adam and Eve, before they sinned, they enjoyed a 24-hour day, 7 days a week, they enjoyed God. They enjoyed the awesome creation and the dinosaurs and the rhinoceroses and everything else. They're all out there, and they're the boss. They could enjoy a superb, awesome creation in the Garden of Eden. And they every day God talked to them. They had a unique relationship. You don't read about worship there because they have a relationship, a unique relationship to God that makes a difference. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind if I can, Deuteronomy, and picking up again in chapter 8. And you will note. And you're going to see it. I'm just not going to do it just enough to see it. Deuteronomy chapter 8, and God is going to say it again and again and again. He warns them 7,000 million times. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 19. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. You get outside up, they bow down to Mecca. They bow down in sacrifices all through history. They bow down, sacrifices, human sacrifice. They look at the stars, they see this eclipse of the sun, and they all bow down to God that is not God. There is no God there. But they're bowing down, choosing to worship the sun, moon, stars, animals, etc., instead of God. Now, having said that, and you'll see it again, turn a page just to see it, 11:16. And in 11:16, all I'm going to do is if you kept turning the pages. Now remember, this is what the book of Deuteronomy is what God gave to the Israelites before they crossed the Jordan. So they have a whole summary of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They have a whole summary and a refreshing course of what they're doing. They're supposed to be honoring God. Chapter 11, verse 16. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and turn aside, and serve other gods, and worship them. Don't get in the place where you get sidetracked, worshiping, looking, all different things we honor. We honor and worship and respect persons, places, things, and not God. And that's idolatry. We get into idolatry. And, as you know, without turning there in Ezekiel, you know what? Chapter 14, verse 3 through 7, what do you know? All idols, all religions come from the human heart. That's where they're made. Because there is no God out here. There's demons out here, deceitful demons, but there is no God. So the only way we can get God is to make him. And that's what we do. Chapter Ezekiel chapter 14 says it so simply. That's how you do it. And to see it a different way, Jeremiah, if I may, in Jeremiah and in chapter 1, right off when we began Jeremiah. And what do we know? Jeremiah 1 and verse 16, going directly in the light of the context. And chapter 1, Jeremiah 16, I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness. For who have forsaken me and burned incense unto other gods and worshipped, there's your word, the works of their, O-N-O-W-N, their own hands. That's where they came from. They created the idol and then bowed down to it. That's what they did. That's what they did. It's their crazy. They threw away their wonderful, wonderful human existence to know the living and only God in a unique and wonderful, wonderful way. And you can go chapter 10, et cetera, et cetera. Chapter 10, well, you might as well do that. You're right here for the moment. Just lock it in, you know it. Chapter 10, and you have what? Chapter 10, verse 1. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn, underline in your mind, learn not, N-O-T, the way of nations, unsaved people. And be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. And that's what they do. sunset, eclipse of the sun, all kinds of different ways. And that's how they worship the heavens, astrology, etc. Verse 3, for the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth the tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen, but with the axe, and they deck it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammer, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree. They speak not. They must needs be worn or carried, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is them to do good. It's just an idol. Just an idol. Just an idol. I have some of them in my office downstairs, different idols. And I could put it up here, put this idol down, but here it is, little idol. Put it there. It doesn't have anything. It's just an idol. But people see that. Oh, the idol. It's nothing. Do you understand? It's nothing. And you're all worshiping it. Now, hang on. Now, having said that little bit, we said from that, so God, you're going to go, and you're going to go, we worship the gods. We aren't worshiping you, God. You would think, as history goes by, you would see a whole lot of worship. But you don't see a whole lot of worship. You just don't see it. We see a lot of idolatry, a lot of religion. We see a lot of that, but we don't see a lot of godly worship. And therefore all of these sacrifices, etc. So, God, what are we going to do? We're going to go and have to look to you to outwork your wonderful will. Now, and without turning there for time's sake, if you went to Revelation chapter 4 and 11 and chapter 5 and 13, what would you know? What are you going to find when God takes us up? The end of Revelation 3, space. Where are we? We're gone from here to there. Revelation chapter 4, now we're there. What do we see? We're all what? Seeing the throne of God's wonderful grace. God's way of showing himself in the midst of infinity, his throne. His wonderful little something up there that is beyond our words to show God's wonderful, wonderful grace in his most wonderful, wonderful way. And what is everybody doing, every angel doing, the seraphim, everybody, what are they all doing? Worship. Worship. They're in the presence of an awesome God. Not when he created and opened the Red Sea. That's awesome. No. You're looking at the God as he is in all of his wonderment. Think of what we do in Sunday school. To see love, joy, peace. To see everything in a way. Perfect. Perfectness. God's wonderful perfectness. Yeah. Worship. That's what we're going to do. But on earth, we don't see much. We don't see hardly any. So therefore, God, what are we doing? And we shared together in John last time. Gospel of John chapter 4, etc. But that they that worship God must worship him in spirit and truth. So you got to get saved. That's why God put a spirit in your heart. Body, soul, spirit. So you can get saved. You can know God in a spiritual way, where this is an earthly way. We don't see him, smell, taste, touch him, nothing. We don't hear that. But God made us to know him in a most remarkable, wonderful, wonderful way. And we're supposed to fear God and honor God in a most wonderful way. But the trouble is, it's missing. Romans, if you would. And the book of Romans. Chapter 3. Romans in chapter 3, and picking up, if I may, going, if I can, to verse 9. What then? Are we better than they, Jews, Gentiles? No, in no wise. For we have before both proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Sliding down, oh, to verse 17. And the way of peace have they not known? Verse 18 in particular, there is no fear of God before their eyes. No fear of God. How so? Romans chapter 1. Romans in chapter 1. And you will note, Romans 1, picking up, if I can, going directly to verse 25. Who hath changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served, that's why idols, worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They're worshiping the wrong thing, and that's what they're doing. And we're looking. We don't worship God. We don't have a... Would you read in 1 John 4 when we read it? They have never seen God. They're only going to see you. Shouldn't you show them something else? No, I'm going to show them you. I'm going to show them you. Christ in his flesh. You saw God. You crucified him. You beat him up bloody and put a crown of thorns on his head. And bloody and messy. You couldn't have been more beaten. You did that to God. And God, and you crucified him. The only sign I'm going to give you is a little old believer who I save. And they're going to walk among you. And you're going to see them. And that's all I'm going to show you. Now, where's the worship? We got to get to the worship. Now, so, hang on to that. And remember, over again, Daniel's image and all of that. And all of that's the image of a man all the way down to the Antichrist. What is the Antichrist going to do? He's going to present Revelation 1:6, peace. Going to bring peace to the world. Trying to say peace in order to what? To be the Lord, God of the world. To be worshipped like no other. That's what you're going to do. Aren't you going to worship? No, we aren't going to worship God. We're going to end up worshiping. We've been trained and allowed to develop the traditions of idolatry. And now, idolatry has no gods. But now the devil is going to go and stand right in front of them and be God. And they're all going to go. Globalism, all that's happening in our world even now. So here's the wrath of God about to take place in an awesome, awesome way. So, and thus you're going to say in your heart and mind, and I am going to say, where is the promise of his coming? Now, do it again. You know it. In the book of Malachi, when you come to the end of the Old Testament, what is one of the problems as we go into 400 years and then crucifixion? What is one of the problems that the Jews carry into those 400 years? The book of Malachi. And you know Malachi and chapter 2. And in Malachi chapter 2, picking up, if I may. In chapter 2, we're going, if I can, to verse 17. You'll catch it immediately. 2:17, Malachi. You have wearied the Lord with your words. What words? Yet you say, wherein have we wearied thee? Him. when you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? Where is the God of judgment? There's no worship. No, but we have all our idols. We have all everything. But we don't have God. What have we read in 1 John? What is the warning? 1 John, you have to turn there. 1 John 4:12. What was the warning? No man has seen God at any time. So what are you going to do if you can't see, can't smell? So you don't be afraid. You don't even understand. You don't even put the pieces together. And we're busy going up and down the streets, coming and going, work, home, school, play. We're going, doing all these things with no sense of God. No sense of God. And yet, God, in his wonderful grace, when you received him as your Savior, the Gospel of John, 1 John 4, 1 John chapter 3, what's the test? God is in you of a truth, or you're not saved. When you receive Christ, you receive God. How far away is God? He isn't. He isn't. How much do you understand the magnificence of God's awesomeness? The world is all going to know. Everyone's going to know forever. Every knee shall bow in heaven, earth, and under the earth. Everyone's going to know. Well, how come believers, using us believers, start with us? If judgment begin at the house of God, what's it going to be for the unsaved? Yeah. So, start with us. Where's the worship? How do I enjoy the God's wonderful presence, who can do above all that we can ask or think in my little old life and your little old life? So with the problems, you go to work, you get your headache, you take your pills, you do everything you're doing it. All the while, you house and give a home to Almighty God. To whom? God. What you just said. If you did say it, God. Where's the worship? Where's the awesomeness of it? I'm trying to help you get there. We won't get there, but at least we're starting to get there. To get you to see it. God, you're doing something wonderful in your grace and mercy. Yeah. You, in whom is all, you're God. I can't have any more of you. I can't have any more than you are. All of heaven, is that my access? Isn't for me. All of the wonderful trophies and wealth of heaven is mine in you. But I don't know it, God. Do I? Yeah. I need to understand God. You really are God. And nothing looks, tissues are just tissues. Just us, flesh and blood. But you're God. By faith. You need to walk by faith. And trust me. God, why can't I worship you? There's a reason. You have a relationship to me in Christ, the Son of God, my Son. You are a Son in my Son. You're with me like this, together. John chapter 17. I want you to, as my Father sent me, so send I you, to have this unique oneness, intimate, comfortable. I'm able to go, if I was in the, back then in those days, when they were eating, if I was next to him, I could lay my head on his side. whom I'm putting my head on, God, who all creation worships.
Yeah.
I have such a relationship. That's awesome. Now I don't want to get, I got to go to the next thing. Now you got that. Now you need the next part. You got a little bit of that. There's no worship. We don't have any. But what we're looking, what worship, what's going to happen? It's a different relationship. It's a whole different world. And that's the only thing I'm going to show, that you enjoy such a wonderful relationship to who I am. The world won't understand it. You'll have dying grace, like we shared a bit ago. You give grace, the peace of God gives us peace. So in the midst of a frustrating, fuming, fussing, fighting world, I have peace. With whom? With God. With God. Yeah. And they have to see that. The same as they could see for 3 1/3 years, our Lord, up and down the land. God hungered, thirsted, walked, slept at night, did whatever he had to do, and you could touch him like that. God, that's right. The woman could reach out and grab his garment, touch him. Yeah. To do that with whom? God. And here you and I are, going to bed and going to work and school. And God is awesome. To what measure in the believer's heart are you understanding, beginning to understand God? So in the midst of your coming and going, and easy and hard, you're learning to what? To trust the Creator of your soul, the Savior of your soul. You're learning to trust Him. And you're learning how to what? Enjoy the invisible God. And that's your testimony. You're my witnesses in the world to show my saving grace. You can't walking around with thunderbolts. James and John wanted to do that. You aren't walking around with thunderbolts. You're walking around in a vessel of dust, enjoying peace with me, allowing me to be the life that you have, closing. Beginning, it's such a simple subject, but it's awesomely profound. And what I'm trying to say to you isn't easy, because you're going to walk away and want to understand it. I know that. You don't have to tell me that. You have to get there. But you need to understand how to get there, or you'll never practice it. Practice the presence of God. Psalm 42. And you would know it. We read in Psalm 115, the great cry, they say, where is your God? And our God is in the heavens, doing whatsoever he pleases. You betcha. Now, but little old us, going to work, school, home, coming, trying to help people understand, to understand ourselves. Psalm 42. As the hart, the deer, panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat, my food, day and night, while they continually say unto me, where's your God? As I'm going through all kinds of stress, learning to try to learn. And I'm not doing very good. And they want to know where my God is. They don't want to know where their God is. They want to know where your God. They don't have a God to go to. Therefore, when I remember these things, I poured out my soul in me, for I had gone with a multitude. Where do you go to get clarity? To the sanctuary. I went with them to the house of God, and with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day, I assembled together in the presence of God. Why art thou cast down? Verse 5. Why art thou all discouraged? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted, divided in your mind? 18 different directions of this and that and this and that and the other and all of that. You're all over the place. Why art thou cast down, my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him for the help, for the healing of his face. I'm going to see his face. And when I see his face, it's going to change my face. And that's verse 11 up verse 10. As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say dearly unto me, where is thy God? They never quit. Well, they can't see God. They don't know God. All they do is see you. That's all. And therefore, it's just a little old us. Verse 11, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted again within me? As in verse 5, hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him, who is the health, the healing, the difference, my face, countenance, and my God. Verse 5, his face. Verse 11, my face. What made the difference? I gave and looked to God. And I looked to God in his presence in the sanctuary, looking at his word. And God is God, the invisible God. That's how Moses made it. He endured seeing the invisible God. Moses, how'd you ever do it? I was always in the presence of God. And especially, I learned that at Mount Sinai. When I came down from Mount Sinai, boy, did I know there was a God. When I was down in the valley with everyone in the wilderness, yeah, you'd never know. But boy, when I went up to the mount, is there a God? He's a consuming fire. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the awesome God who he is. God, why art thou cast down? I don't have to be. The Lord has provided a lamb. He's my Savior. He reached in and saved my little old heart for himself and took it. And I, in some way, need to discover how to enjoy him and understand him. God help us. Where is your God? Ah, he's in the heavens.
Yeah.
He's in my heart. Heavens, heart. He's in my heart. Yeah. Doesn't look like it.
No.
Doesn't smell like it. But he is. He's my Lord and Savior. Now, you're getting it. Trying to help you get there. But you've got to have it locked in, or else it'll go right through your brain, because it isn't common. It doesn't fit our old nature. Our old nature doesn't want this. I got to quit. Our Father and God, we thank you for your word, your grace. Thank you, God. The world may say, people may say, we even may say in moments, where is our God? God, where are you? We don't feel you, don't see you, you don't seem to be doing anything. To bow the knee to bend the heart before you, God. We don't seem to be anything. Ah, but God, it is true. In our wonderful, wonderful little old way, we're able to go and acknowledge you, our God and Savior, our Heavenly Father, God. Thanks a lot, God. I do bow. We do bow in your presence with thanksgiving, God. In this assembly, it's just little old us and you. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.